He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." If you could take the bread, we're going to take it this morning. Lord, I just thank you for your body, Lord. I thank you for the healing power that you came. And it says, through your stripes we are healed. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, as we take this, help us to not take it unworthily, but help us to remember you as we take it, Lord. You may take the bread. It says, after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as sacrifice to you. Do this and remember me." Lord, I just thank you for your blood. Your blood washed away all of our sins. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray that this morning that your blood will flow through this house, Lord, that we will see people this year in 2025, Lord, saved like never before. But we just thank you, we praise you, in your name we pray. Amen. Take the cup. Thank you. Last week I asked you to make a list of at least three things that you wanted to see God do in 2025. I told you that they could be spiritual things, they could be physical things, they could even be somewhat carnal things. But I just told you to write some things down and put it somewhere prominent where you see it every day, right? And where you'll pray for it specifically. And be specific when you pray about it, right? So that when we pray specifically and it happens, God answers it, God moves, we can testify about it, right? And so we talked about bold prayers and circling our Jericho, the issues and the problems and the addictions that we're having, the obstacles that we face. And we talked about being intentional about what we pray for and how we pray. And that some things, you know, there. When I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this week, because I knew that what we were going to share this week. And so, you know, there are things that work hand in hand with prayer. One of those things is fasting. Fasting is not the same as prayer. It's different. Because Jesus said, when you pray, and he said, when you fast, meaning that's two different things. But they're just as important. And so this morning we're going to talk about fasting, and I want us to, this year, I'm going to ask you to fast, but I'm also going to ask you that when you fast this year specifically, be intentional about what you're fasting for. Don't just fast to fast. Be intentional about what you're doing. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, it tells a story about David. And David had Uriah killed, and Bathsheba had come into his home, and she was pregnant, and she has the baby, and Nathan has come and you know, beat him down because what he did was wrong. And the child is actually sick and getting ready to die. And David begins to plead with God. In verse 16 of chapter 12, it says, David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. And the elders of the household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died, and David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized that the child was dead. He said, "Is the child dead?" "Yes," they replied, "he is dead." Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshipped, and then he went to his own house, and at the request, they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now the child is dead, you get up and eat?" He answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that the child is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." David was fasting to try to save his son. He said, I fasted and wept while the child was alive because perhaps the Lord would be gracious to me and keep the child alive. Right? He was fasting specifically. He was intentional about his fasting. He was fasting for this child to live so that it didn't die. There are times when fasting, that we're fasting for something specific. We talked about it last week, right? Circling your Jericho, praying that things would change and praying that healings would happen and praying that peace and praying for the obstacles out of our way by circling them in prayer. And when you add another wrinkle, you add another layer of offense, you start fasting. And fasting should be something that we practice more as believers. For whatever reason, fasting has been something that as the church, we talk about it, but we don't really practice it. You know, we talk about prayer, and we practice prayer, and we talk about giving, and we practice giving. But fasting, I don't want to ask you when the last time you fasted was. But how often, really? How often do we do that? We pray, we give, but how often do we fast? In Matthew, Jesus says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, those are three things that go hand in hand. As believers, they're things that we should be practicing. Matthew 6:5 says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward you will ever get. In Matthew 6:16, it says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. Do they disguise their faces to show others they are fasting? Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees you, what is done in secret, will reward you. We are cautioned against hypocrisy in fasting. Fasting is a duty, a required of the believer of Christ. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Jesus placed fasting on the same level as praying and giving. He made it clear that fasting will give and giving and praying was a normal part of Christian life. As much attention should be given to fasting as is given to praying. It's the forgotten discipline. I believe this year will be marked by fasting. There have been some things that I've been praying about for this year, and we'll talk about them some more as we go throughout the year, but one of the things that I really felt like that we needed to do was fast more. And I don't just say that because I'm preaching on this. I'm preaching on this because God said this to me. But I feel like that as a church that we will call corporate fast. In fact, I'm about to tell you about one right now. But I want you as individuals and families to be intentional about fasting. Because it's important. We want to see God do the miraculous. Well, sometimes the only way the miraculous is going to happen is when we get on our faces and pray and fast and seek the Lord. I'm asking you to join me in a 21-day fast starting today through the 26th. We start a Sunday-Monday revival on the 26th of this month, and I'm believing for God to do some incredible things in those services. And I encourage you to fast at least, if nothing else, if you will fast 3 days during this 21 days. Pick, if you can't, because of dietary issues, can't fast food, pick something else to fast. But I encourage you to fast. And don't just starve yourself if you're going to fast food. Because that doesn't do any good. It's just a bad diet. You have to be praying while you're fasting. You have to be asking God, what should I do during this time? if you're going to fast social media and television, don't say, well, I'll watch movies instead. Don't fill your time with other mindless stuff on your phone because you're not doing social media. I don't want this 21 days to be the only time that we fast this year. I want to see us fast throughout the year. I want it to become a spiritual discipline that we do often. There was a story that I heard about a missionary who fasted every other day for years. And during those years that he fasted like that, the miracles that came from out of his ministry through his life were incredible. I believe it hinged on the fact that he fasted. In Scripture, we see 1 day, 3 day, 7 day, 10 day, 14 day, 21 day, and 40 day fast. The fasts we find in Scripture were brought on by different situations and circumstances, from mourning to direction, to preparation, to pleading with God. But why do we fast? Why do we fast? I fast when I need direction or when I need confirmation. I fast when I have a God-sized need. I fast when there's strongholds that need broken. I fast when I or someone around me needs a breakthrough that will only come through fasting. We see spiritual victories and physical victories of people throughout Scripture who fasted, who sought first the kingdom of God. Moses received the Ten Commandments during a 40-day fast. Joshua fasted 40 days. Daniel fasted 10 and then 21 days. Paul was recorded to fast 3 and 14 days. Peter fasted 3 days, and Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness. And he should be our example. Fasting is a lifestyle. All of these men fasted more than once. It wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't for a once and done. It was a lifestyle for them. I know several people who fast 1 day a week. It's a lifestyle for them. Jesus said, when you pray, when you fast. But he also said, when you give. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2 says, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrite does, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. It's important. It's important to give. It's not something new. It's not something that just started or that the church created. It's been around since Abraham, 500 years before the law was ever handed down to Moses. We see Abraham giving a tithe. In Genesis 14, verse 18, it says, when Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, he was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. If you understand giving, though, if you understand giving, if you want to understand it, you have to understand the principle of the first fruits, the firstborn, or the tithe. Exodus 13, verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me. You must present all firstborn sons and firstborn male animals to the Lord, for they belong to him. Verse 12 says, a firstborn donkey may be brought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or your young goat in its place. But if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. However, you must buy back your firstborn son. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He was the one that redeemed the firstborn. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. This morning, we're going to receive our first fruits offering. Everything that comes in today, in person or online, will go to missions. Everything. I believe first fruits offering sets the tone for the year, and I've been saying this since 2021, and it has. I've shared with you the last couple weeks that we were going to do this, that we were going to take up this offering today, and I don't want it. I told you that I don't want it to be another offering. I really want you to pray about what you would should give. And I also ask you not to withhold your tithe, because if you withhold your tithe, then you're defeating the purpose of the first fruits. It's important that we do this, and it really does, it truly sets the tone for the year. Everything that comes in today's offering will go to missions projects. Because I want 2025 to be set, the tone to be set for us. Because I want to see God do greater things here than he's done before. In 2024, from First Fruits Offering, we sowed in Mozambique to help them fund a print press that helps them continue the campus ministry that's sweeping Mozambique. They are sending people out of Mozambique, missionaries out of Mozambique, every month right now. And it's because of the ministry that's there that's been set up by Arkansas missionaries. They are literally sending missionaries all over the continent of Africa. They needed help with this printing press so that they could get leadership materials printed to send with these missionaries. We helped them fund that. We sent some funds to a missionary in Armenia who was working on getting Bibles into the country. And there was a project at Southern Miss with Chi Alpha that we helped with. And we sowed into MVP. And we sowed in a few other missions projects. And we have several projects that we're looking at sowing into this year. There's a project in Belize that we were just made aware of that involves a feeding program and their camping program for their kids. So we're going to send some funds there. There's a project in Egypt that needs attention. And stateside, Randy and Kathy Cartwright are raising money for a Speed the Light vehicle that work with Rural Compassion. And so we're going to send money to them. And we're going to sow into the ministry of MVP. MVP is a ministry who sows into ministries, ministers, and their families. And there's a few other projects, but those are the top four. And every year I tell you that it sets the tone for the year. Every year I have people tell me stories of God doing the incredible because of this. We've seen people pay off cars and houses early. We've seen people get jobs that they weren't qualified for. We've seen God show up. Well, a couple weeks ago we saw God show up. On December 19th, I got a phone call pretty early in the morning. It was a guy that's checked up on us throughout the year to see where we were with the building, and I told him where we were sitting. At about 9:30, I was on a Zoom call that I'm on every Thursday with several ministry leaders across the country, and the guy that had called was leading the call. And at the end of the call, he said that God had woke him up that morning, and he felt like there was something that he needed to do with the ministry. And so through the next few minutes, he began to tell what had happened here, told what we had done, told where we were at with the building. And at the end of that conversation, he said, "We're going to pay off their building." Friday morning, $58,000, that Friday, December 20th, $58,000 was sent to our account. Saturday morning, I went to the bank, and a little bit more, whatever the payoff was, the 61, because our payment hadn't hit yet, $61,000, we paid off the building. Monday, they confirmed it, the 23rd, whatever it was, Monday, they confirmed that the building was paid off. I know that some of you gave towards the building debt the last couple weeks, and we'll glad you give you that money back. Or if you would let us, we do have a small loan to the district that's interest-free that we would like to put that money towards. I will tell you that we owe $11,000 to the district. We got that money for insurance, and then there were some things that happened. The insurance didn't pan out the way that it was, and the district told me to keep the money and just pay it back as we were instead of sending the lump back. And we needed it because we had an air conditioner go out the next week. So I was thankful that they let us do that. But I'm believing that we're going to have that paid off by March 1st. And there's no doubt in my mind that the building, though, that this building down here was paid off. Because, one, we gave to first fruits, but because of, two, because people in the house and people outside the house were obedient to what God was telling them to do. And this morning, I'm not asking for something big. Well, I am. But I'm asking you to be obedient. The projects that we're going to take care of this morning or this week, and as the money is here, the projects that we're going to fund, I'm believing will be funded if we are all obedient to what God is asking us to do. I'm telling you that it sets the tone. All year long, I felt like the building would be paid off by the end of the year. All year. The last few weeks, I was like, I don't know how we're going to do it. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I never lost the hope that it would be done. I was discouraged a couple times, but I'm like, God, you told me. And I would remind him pretty often. And it happened. It sets the tone. There are a couple things that I'm praying for with First Fruits. I'm praying that as we give this First Fruits offering, that we see an increase in missions giving as a whole, this church. It's going to be a focus this year. That the debt that we have will be paid off by March. That in the body, that's you, that there will be rapid debt reduction. And I'm believing more than anything for prodigals to come in this year. I've told you I will never ask for an offering that I'm not willing to give in. And today I'm going to give just as I'm asking you to give. As the ushers come, we're going to receive an offering. I've prayed and I've asked God what he would have us to do. And I hope that you've done the same. I'm believing for a big number. And I'm believing that if everyone is obedient to what God has asked them to do, that we'll get there. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you. I thank you for blessing us, Lord. I thank you for what you did in 2024, Lord. I thank you for paying off that building, Lord. I thank you for what the building has allowed us to be able to do, God. And Lord, as we give this first fruits offering, as we give it all to you, to missions, Lord, I'm praying that we see an increase in missions giving as a whole in our house. Lord, I pray that the debt that we have left on this property, Lord, that the debt that the church has will be paid off by March or sooner, God. Lord, I pray that in this house that we see rapid debt reduction. And Lord, more than anything, I pray that you bring the prodigals home. That you bring the prodigals in. That we see the lost saved, God. Lord, I pray that you bless every person that's in this house, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you as you give this morning. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving this year throughout 2024 towards the building, because we wouldn't have got where we were without obedience from you. Why do we fast? I said earlier that the reason that we fast is when we need direction, or when we need confirmation, or when we need God-sized needs met. I fast when there's strongholds that need broken down around me. I fast when breakthroughs are needed. But fasting while praying fast tracks the prayer. When we are praying and we are fasting at the same time, it fast tracks the prayer, right? Mark Batterson says it best. He says, when you fast and pray in tandem, it's almost like a moving sidewalk. It gets you to your desired destination in half the time. Fasting has a way of fast-tracking our prayers. Because fasting is harder than praying. Fasting is a form of praying hard. In my experience, it's the shortest distance to breakthrough. Some of you have been praying for something for a long time. Some of you have circled it in prayer over and over again for days, weeks, months, even years. Maybe it's time you start circling that request with fasting. Maybe it's time that you fast for it. We talked last week about being specific about our prayers. Well, I think not only being specific when we are praying, but also being very intentional about it. Not only with our prayers, but also with fasting. I want us to fast for some specific things. I'm asking you to join us on a corporate fast for 21 days, starting today and going through the 26th. We have something that I want to put in your hands, and I've asked them to help us pass those out. Now. It's to help us be intentional over the next 21 days. It's to help you not to have something that you're fasting for. I want you to have some personal things that you're fasting for. I want you to have those things. But as a corporate body, as of believers, there are some things that we felt that we wanted you to fast with us for, that we are fasting for, and we want you to be with us with those things. Why are we doing this? We're doing this so that we can see spiritual victories. So that we can see physical victories. Throughout Scripture, we see people who fasted, who sought first the kingdom of God, and they saw something happen. And we want you to experience something happening through this time. Did everyone get one? Oh, you missed the whole little section right here. I'm believing for us to see victories. Through the next 21 days, I'm believing that we're gonna hear of victories coming out of this. Listen, when something happens, when God does something in your life, don't keep it to yourself. Share it so that we can all rejoice with you. If something happens that's connected to the first fruits offering that you just gave, let us know, because we want to rejoice with you. Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you for Matthew chapter 6, Lord. I thank you for saying when we give, when we pray, and when we fast. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you help us this week and this next few days, this next few weeks, Lord, to fast and seek you. Lord, I'm believing for miracles to take place. I'm believing for victories to happen, God. I'm believing for great things. Lord, we thank you for first fruits. Lord, we thank you for what you've done and to set the tone the last few years as we've given, God. You've given us back. Lord, we thank you for paying the building, God. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we're believing for even more this year, God. We're believing for even more this year. If you need God to move in your body, you got something going on and you need God to move. You need a healing. You need God to touch you. You've got something going on that you need God to move in the situation. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. We want to believe with you. We're not going to leave this service and not at least offer it. If you need God to move in your situation or your body, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, you need God to move, I want to ask you to come. We want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray that you just begin to move and you begin to touch, God. Lord, we're believing for something more, God. We're believing for something more. We need your touch today, God. We need you to move in this house, Lord. Lord, we pray that you do it today, God. If you feel led to come and pray around these altars, feel free to do so.